Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Open your free iHeart app, search R&B Money Podcast, and start listening. Only on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
We're just grasping at anything as Star Wars fans now. We're like, is the movie happening?
It's been five years. What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Explained Weekly Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Molly.
And we've got some Star Wars movie news updates to break down and talk about. But before we do that, real quick, we have to send a shout out and a thank you to Neil Shaw and Tenebris Way, who both joined our Patreon last week at the Jedi Council and Jedi Master levels, which is insanely generous. So thank you, both of you. And also, we like to talk about what we got up to over the past week since the last Q&A. We went to two concerts this past week.
Who are we?
We were talking about how
we're young again.
I know, we're trying real hard. that's funny. One of the concerts was Hawkfest, which is something they did in Atlanta, which is basically a celebration of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And a bunch of local bands gathered at Star Bar in Little Five Points and played covers from Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah, all the games too.
Yeah, they could choose songs from any four of them.
Did you actually play that game?
I played two a lot.
Yeah. I don't know which one I played, but I had one of them, and I played it a lot, was very bad at it.
Yeah. I don't think I played one. I remember two very well and unlocking Spider-Man. I think Darth Maul was an unlockable character in 3 or 4.
Yeah, we talked about that once before, and ever since then, I want to give that game another shot.
Just to unlock Darth Maul?
Just to do that.
It might be. It's time. It is the 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm. But that was super fun. I loved all the band names as well. They read off, like, Andy Dwyer saying the alternate names for Mouse Rat and Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Like, Left Hand Hot Dog. Great band name.
Gas Station Boner Pills.
Uh-huh.
Didn't think I was going to say that
one. I didn't think you were going to go to that one, but... honestly, that was the most Andy Dwyer band up there because their drummer was shirtless and had their set list written on his chest.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't
in
forget
Sharpie.
It. I loved them. But we also went and saw Bayside on Tuesday, which, yeah, that's
concert
like...
Concert on a Tuesday?
I know, we're trying so hard to be young.
I didn't go to a lot of concerts growing up, and so I am making up for lost time.
But it was great to hang out with Nick... who is in Thank the Maker Pod, throws all of the Mosh Eisley concerts along with Adam from Story of the Year, who's also in Thank the Maker Pod. But we've been able to hang out with both of them already this year, and they're coming to Dragon Con. So there's another reason to come to Atlanta for Dragon Con this year for Mosh Eisley.
We'll have a whole spiel on a future Q&A about that. I'm
sure we will, but I want to get people in the know, Mosh Eisley in Atlanta. I'm excited.
Yeah.
But let's get into that Star Wars movie news. We have updates on 3 out of the 4 movies that we know are in the pipeline right now, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
First up, we heard about The Mandalorian and Grogu, and they have been given a release date of May 22nd, 2026.
Love it.
I was kind of hoping it would be 2025, like late 2025. I thought that was probably realistic, considering I figured... Jon Favreau knows the basic story. They've had a pretty fast turnaround on seasons of Mandalorian, where it's like a year, year and a half. So I was thinking a movie, they might be able to knock that out pretty quick.
I wonder if it's because of Celebration happening in Japan. Like if they wanted to like wait till the following year to release the next movie.
I mean, they could have done it in December.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
it. It's always either May or December, right?
Yeah, May was like Star Wars A New Hope started the May trend.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Force Awakens started the December trend. I'm fine with either. I kind of liked having Star Wars in December. That was just a fun way to end a year.
It was fun during the holidays.
Yeah. So I do think that there's one movie or two that are in the pipeline set for a December release. But, you know, Mandalorian and Grogu feels like a summer blockbuster release.
Sure.
I know some people, you were telling me this, that Avengers 5, I looked up, is coming out on May 1st that year. Mm-hmm. So people are like, are we doing this again?
I feel like that's enough of a gap, the 1st versus the 22nd.
I can't remember what it was for Avengers Infinity War and Solo. I feel like it was just 2 weeks. I don't really think it's going to be as big of an issue this time around. First of all, I don't think, or I hope, The Mandalorian and Grogu is not going to have the same budget that Solo did, which had a pretty high budget, and then they basically had to shoot it twice.
Yeah.
And it cost way more than it should have. So that put extra pressure on it to perform well. And coming out after Infinity War was, like, that was just the biggest movie for a long time. And it had so much hype going into it that it just seemed like a mistake from the start.
Denny's didn't quite do it for Solo, unfortunately.
It's funny every time you bring Denny's up, and I immediately think of my treasured Therm Scissor Punch card. I'm still glad we went to Denny's to get trading cards.
I wish we had kept the... Was it the cups from Denny's, too? Or were they from somewhere else?
You're into cups all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was going to say I wish we kept it, but it was just, like, big and kind of clunky.
Just like the Newt Gunray cup that you got at Star Wars Celebration.
Just like that.
Yep. I don't really think that this is going to be as big of an issue this time around, because it seems like the MCU just doesn't have as much hype behind it right now.
Mm-hmm. Marvel just isn't as big as it was during, what was that, 2017?
That was 2018 and 2019 for Avengers 3 and 4. And yeah, like the culmination of 10 years of filmmaking, more than that, I think. So much hype behind it. I was incredibly hyped to go see both of them. Personally, I'm not feeling that same level for the MCU now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll change going into the next Avengers movie. I'm not sure. But as of right now, I'm far more hyped for Mando and Grogu.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Those characters are already such big stars for Star Wars. So I think that movie is going to do great.
I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be experimental. I'm hoping that it has a much, much lower budget and they kind of test out how a Star Wars film at that level does.
It's going to cover all ages, too. Because I was like, I was thinking of Solo, and I was like, I don't know that like little kids would have been super excited to go see Solo, but everyone likes Grogu.
I think you're right. I think it has more crowd appeal than Solo did.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of questions of like, oh, the Solo movie, who asked for this? And I'm like, I was excited about it.
Yeah,
but,
we loved Solo. You know,
for people who didn't grow up with the original trilogy, they might not be super into a Han Solo origin story movie. So I can understand that. I'm really interested to see what they do with Mando and Grogu. And also, we should say, there's a good chance that these release dates move.
That is true. None of this is really set in stone. This all came out because of a shareholder meeting or something?
Yeah, that's usually when these dates are released. And it's usually to show the shareholders, like, look how great we're doing. Look at all these movies we have planned. And, like, the dates change all the time.
Sure.
So maybe they put it in May as, like, let's give ourselves a safety net. Maybe it'll be ready in December.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, hey, surprise, we're bumping it up 5 months. I'm not banking on that.
These are all very soft times.
Yeah. It's kind of a best case scenario, but the MCU alone has been shifted around so many times with its schedule. So Avengers 5 might not come out on May 1st, and Mando and Grogu might not come out on May 26th.
It is just nice to see, though, that they have a spot for it in the coming schedule.
Yeah, and a lot of this that we're talking about today is kind of, I have that feeling where I'm just happy to see some movement and some talk at all. So we can move on to our next story from Daisy Ridley, who in Empire magazine in the coming issue says, "I know the story beats, but other than that, I'm not sure what it's going to be, but I'm reading a script next month. I'm curious about it all." And the script is a big deal because she has been saying, "I know what the story beats are," for a year, I think, since
just like basic outline of the story.
Yeah, since Star Wars Celebration last year, she's basically been like, "I've been told the story, but I haven't read a script." So now, after the writer's strike happened, obviously, the script was put on hold, and now it sounds like it's done or close to done.
Yeah.
At least a first draft.
Yeah, and, you know, scripts go through so many changes before the movie actually gets shot, so it's probably going to change a little bit, but it is nice to know that there's a script coming.
That, yeah, that's like all I took away from this and all I went like, oh, good.
We're just grasping at anything as Star Wars fans now. We're like, is the movie happening?
It's been 5 years. There you go. I knew you'd want it out.
Yeah, hype for scripts.
It's been 5 years since a Star Wars story almost, and it's going to be almost 7 by the time we get Mando and Grogu. So, you know, we're hungry. Yeah. We want movies.
I love the shows on Disney Plus. You know, the stuff that they've been giving us is really good and juicy, but we need that steak and potatoes dinner.
They've certainly been holding us over. And I'm so grateful for the streaming shows, but I miss going to a theater once a year. It doesn't have to be once a year.
Go to the theater for other movies. Yeah. Sound like our one trip of the year to the theater is for whatever Star Wars
I haven't
movie.
Been to a theater in 6 years, and I won't start now. So maybe we'll learn more when Empire magazine releases its full issue. I think the issue came out today, so we might learn more as people continue reading the article, and maybe we'll try to get our hands on it. But we can move on to our last bit of movie news, which is also script related. But Tom in 6800 asks our thoughts on Bo Willimon co-writing the Dawn of the Jedi movie. I'm really excited for that. First of all, the Dawn of the Jedi movie is the one I'm most excited about. It's probably the one that is the farthest away from seeing the light of day, but I'm, again, just excited that there is movement on it, and Bo Willimon was one of the writers for Andor, specifically the prison arc, which is some of my favorite Star Wars storytelling. So, yes,
This has me very excited. And I remember flipping through his IMDb page, and like there wasn't a lot that I recognized on it, but knowing he worked on the prison arc on Andor, I was like, all right, I have a lot of good feelings about this.
Yeah. The fact that they're bringing in someone of his caliber that wrote 2 banger speeches in 1 episode.
Yeah.
And the prison arc is very philosophical, which I think Dawn of the Jedi will probably be as well. Mm-hmm. He mixed action and dialogue. Just like, I was so impressed with everything he did. And I should say, like, as far as I know from a writer's room perspective, he didn't do that in a vacuum. He had the help of everyone else, but he was like responsible for those episodes. So I don't know if he single-handedly wrote all my favorite stuff from Andor, but he had a hand in it and a strong hand. So I'm excited to see what he does for a film. The Star Wars film. But we're going to get away from movies now because Tater Tot 44 asks who the gray armored clones are in the Tales of the Empire trailer. So this is something that I noticed when they're leading Barriss to that training room with the Grand Inquisitor. There are some clones behind her with some darker colored armor, and they say something like, "Just be glad you're not a Jedi anymore." I'm wondering if those are like proto purge troopers.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I didn't even notice that they were different color troopers in that shot. So I don't know.
It seems like they are meant to look a little bit different from just a lot of the clone troopers that stuck around in the Empire had white with maybe some gray accents like Cody. But these were just wearing like all gray.
Maybe so. They specifically work with the Inquisitors. Like, I know that's kind of what the Purge Troopers did, but maybe there are different tiers
right.
of troopers that work with and around the Inquisitors.
I think we could see something kind of like we're seeing in the Bad Batch, where we didn't go straight to Stormtroopers. We had TK Troopers for a while. So maybe the first round of Purge Troopers were these gray armored clones. And we do know that they were clone Purge Troopers for a while, mm-hmm. At least for a year. So,
or they could be like prison troopers.
Maybe.
Like a special division of trooper that works at the prison.
Yeah, we don't know exactly where Barriss is right now. And according to Inquisitor Rise of the Red Blade, the Inquisitors, before they were fully inducted, were basically held prison. Well, our power went out, and I know we were talking about the gray clone troopers with Barriss Offee. I don't remember what we were talking about other than that.
We just took a nice little, like, 45-minute, maybe it wasn't that long, like, 30-minute break, and we just were downstairs playing on our Switches yeah. until the power came back on.
It's the only thing that still had power was my Switch. I have to play Kirby's Dream Land, too.
I mean, our phones are on.
I gotta help Dream Land. I'm playing old Game Boy games. Anyway, I will just say, yeah, probably proto-Purge Troopers proto before they get their
Purge full... Prison Troopers.
Yeah, sure.
Quality content from us.
Moving into video games, the Star Wars Outlaws trailer, the story trailer, came out this past week. We got the release date of August 30th, which is going to be the first day of Dragon Con this year. Mm-hmm. So that's par for the course.
Well, if you get the Ultimate Edition, you can get it and play it a couple days early.
That's true.
So,
I mean, I might spring for that just because Dragon Con will be going on and I'll want to explore the galaxy a little bit.
I want those little outfits that you can
that's
put
all you want.
Kay and Nyx in little outfits together, and they are adorable.
I think you just need the Gold Edition to get early access, so I might do that. But if they're all the outfits that you want in Ultimate Edition, I'll get it for you.
Yay. Thank you. But Nyx has a little bandolier.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Little goggles.
I remember last year when we got to interview them and you jokingly...
I was like, I have one priority. Can I put Nyx in little outfits?
You jokingly were like, will there be customizable options for Nyx? And they didn't say no and yeah. hinted that the answer might be yes. And I was like, oh, okay. and here we are. But Ormappa asks if Outlaws will link to comic events. And oh. I think the trailer alone, they didn't do anything direct, but I think that they chose this era on purpose. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about that a little bit when we interviewed them a year ago or so, and I think definitely it's going to connect to comic stuff.
Really seeing Crimson Dawn and then Game Informer confirm that Kira is in it, like that alone links us to the comic world and yeah. the fact that, yep, Crimson Dawn is still around. You know, it just occurred to me that there are probably a lot of people who haven't read the comics that are surprised, like, oh my god, Kira's back.
Yeah,
Kira's still around with Crimson Dawn,
and maybe thinking she's a good guy. Maybe
I mean,
not
she's is fighting against the Empire and the Sith, so there is that.
She's
not in the best
good
way
and bad. She's like the perfect in-between kind of yeah. character.
Which she's a very fun, compelling character at this point in time, but
doesn't she get her hands on Han and Carbonite? I know we see that in the trailer too, so I don't know if that lines up.
So I think that just places the trailer or the story of Outlaws after the events of War of the Bounty Hunters.
Okay.
And probably during the events of Crimson Reign and Hidden Empire. So these are all comic series that came out. There was like a Kira trilogy, and it started with War of the Bounty Hunters, and that's when we saw that, like, oh my god, Kira's back. And yeah, she steals Han's carbonite slab from Boba Fett, which basically kicks off a huge criminal syndicate war.
Mm-hmm.
And that first scene in the trailer with Sliro, the Zerik Besh guy, he's kind of gathering representatives from these different syndicates. At first, I thought he was trying to unite people, and I was like, that kind of goes against what happens in Crimson Reign, but I'll see how it plays out. an interview on Ubisoft.com suggested that it was more of a power play. That meeting is more of him being like, don't mess with us. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's going to line up with the comics. Not to mention, Zarek Besht was mentioned in Crimson Reign and Hidden Empire. So this video game has been in development for a while, I'm sure. Charles Soule was probably given a go-ahead to be like, hey, make mention of this group so that when the time comes, they'll link better.
So are there like specific comic books that you would recommend people check out for the game?
That's a good idea. Yes. War of the Bounty Hunters will probably help set the stage for things. Crimson Reign, I think, is going to be where we're at that point in time, where Kira basically really throws the criminal syndicates into war with one another. Hidden Empire is more focused on her story, so I don't think it'll spoil anything. Mm-hmm. Like, KVS isn't mentioned or anything, so I think you'd be fine to read that. But I think that'll probably take place after the events of Outlaws, maybe during. Maybe you'll hear, like, whatever, everything that Kira gets up to could be on the Holonet or something.
Sure. Yeah, I need to go read a bunch of those because I haven't kept up with any of those. But I'm curious to be able to know all that stuff going into Outlaws, if it'll be a little more rewarding.
Yeah, especially War of the Bounty Hunters, I think, will just help set the stage. There are 5 issues each, so it's not that big of a commitment. I think if you were to get like the collection, it would be 100, 150 pages per series. Mm-hmm. So not that long to read them all. But yeah, I'm really excited for potential comic connections. Black Sun was mentioned in the comics too. Prince Xizor was name dropped, maybe shown in Hidden Empire. I'm not sure, but like my fingers are crossed. They did not mention Black Sun in the story trailer, but I feel like he could be there. It's kind of like how they tried to cut Crosshair out of the season 3 trailer.
Yeah.
Like, he's just off screen.
Yeah.
But Prince Xizor is going to be there, I hope.
I hope he's there. Fun story about Prince Xizor. I didn't know who that was because that's a Legends character, right? So a few years ago, I was like looking through all of Alex's old Star Wars figures.
This was like 7 years ago at this point.
Yeah, but several years ago. And I was like picking up all these different Star Wars figures, trying to like arrange them all on one of our shelves. And I was like, oh, you have a Dragon Ball figure in here, mixed in here.
Like, how dare you, madam?
He does look like a Dragon Ball.
Yeah, he looks like a Namek character. A little bit.
But
did you never play Shadows of the Empire on N64?
I did, but I don't remember him from it. Maybe I didn't even get that far.
Did you just
far.
Fly around on Hoth?
I think for a so. While? I don't
that
know.
Makes sense. That was, I mean, super fun.
That was very long ago.
That's true. Well, to continue talking about comics a little bit, Chris Edwards asks if Dr. Aphra could appear in the game. I think we've discussed this before, probably like a year ago when we first heard about Outlaws, but seeing, in my opinion, more evidence suggesting that this is going to connect to the comics. Aphra is well connected in that world. She's a big part of the War of the Bounty Hunters and Crimson Reign. Like, the way that those are all crossover events. So Aphra basically has her own story going on in all 3 of them. So I think there's a good chance, actually, probably
for Aphra to show up.
Yeah.
I would love that. I mean, I think she could hold her own video game. So
yeah, I really do too.
If she has a cameo in this one, that'd be really fun.
Yeah. A treasure hunting archaeologist with like electro tattoos that can influence and affect computers. Like, there'd be a lot of fun gameplay mechanics with that. So maybe introduce Aphra here and do...
What's Aphra's reputation like in this period of time? Because you have to worry about your reputation as Kay in the game.
Not good. That would be so funny, though.
If you had a high reputation at this point, if you do the Aphra mission, if there is one...
Everyone dislikes that. It's like in Resident Evil 2, Mr. X is like chasing you around the whole time. Mm-hmm. In this, it's Dr. Aphra just trying to be your friend. And you're like, don't touch me, my reputation.
Unless you play like me, who will probably just have a terrible reputation the whole time.
Yeah, you're going to be constantly backstabbing people. I'm really interested in the reputation system. I think that'll be a lot of fun, choosing who you want to work with. Who, if you had to choose one syndicate to align yourself with now, who would you go with?
I mean, I think Crimson Dawn probably, but just because of Kira.
Yeah, knowing everything from the comics does make me want to lean towards Kira. But if Black Sun's in it, I'm going to go with my boy Shizor all the way. Shizor. I'm going to go with Shizor all the way.
That old geezer Shizor.
He is pretty old at this point.
His little top knot is, his high pony is gray instead of black.
It's been, I mean, like, it's the same era that he was introduced in between Empire and Return of the Jedi. But at this point, Shadows of the Empire came out in what, like 96? It's been almost 30 years.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
It's been 84 years.
Oh my gosh. So old. I miss my N64. When are they going to put, talking about the Switch?
We have an N64.
I know, but like.
Let's plug it in.
They've got the emulator thing on Nintendo Switch Online. They have N64 games. Come on, Nintendo. Shadows of the Empire, please. Get
waiting
on it.
For it.
Well, our power.
Well,
what happened? Don't laugh at me. My mouth's full of marbles today. Oh, wait, no, I said it right.
My marbles are full of mouth today.
My marbles are full of mouth today. I can't even do it. Dude, we're basically held prison.
Oh, at least the cameras are still going.
At least, not that one.
Oh, God, all dark.
I guess I'll stop the recording until it's come back. I was hoping it would. But that's all the time we have for questions today. If you want to hear more of our Outlaws takes, I will link to our trailer breakdown in the cards. But if you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the channel.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Blue Sky.
And as always, thanks for watching, and may the Force be with you.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Open your free iHeart app, search R&B Money Podcast, and start listening. Only on the Black Effect Podcast Network.